Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio. It's Bob Belongi, and here with me on Skype is my son, Alan Belongi. He is our tech guy, guru, reporter, helper, all kinds of things on the show. Welcome back, Alan.
Howdy.
Well, let's see here. I'm kind of tweaking a few settings. Now, Alan and I have both been playing with this stuff for a long time, me obviously a bit longer. But prior to this recording, both of us were having just crazy audio issues because of the way we do this over Skype. And then, I, of course, on my end, I'm recording into a program called Audacity. And because of some of the things that have been built into operating systems, you can't just record from Skype directly into Audacity. You actually have to take an audio feed out and put it into another box in order to record, get the recording done. But then our headsets wouldn't talk to the thing, so it was all kinds of crazy. So if you're having trouble with your computer or device, don't feel bad, because we play with this stuff all the time, and we get all messed up. Anyway.
Also, just for your reference, whenever something goes wrong in our stuff, we just kind of like hit it until it works. So that's just kind of – that's the IT way, essentially.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and seriously, when Alan rebooted his computer, the problem went away. And that's what I tell people. The first thing you do before you start fiddling around with stuff, unplugging wires and getting completely out of control – simply do a reboot. Go for the simple solution first, and actually 9 times out of 10, that will cure the issue.
There has been some times where I could not figure out what the heck was going on with something. Well, something wasn't talking to another thing or wasn't turning on. I just could not understand it, and I didn't think of why restarting it would work, but you know, I ended up just out of desperation restarting the thing, and it worked. It's... computers are magic, okay?
Yeah. Well, I tell people when their router misbehaves, and you should do this anyway, about once a month, shut down your router, walk away for 10 minutes, and restart it, because what's happened is that the index files that the router uses to figure out where to send what, they get kind of messed up. Just the postman gets drunk, what can I say?
Especially if you have a lot of things connecting to the router, it can get stuffed full of old information real quick.
Yeah. Alrighty, before we get into some of the stories that you brought me this time around, someone who we both know apparently got their Messenger account hijacked, and it Facebook Messenger hijacked, and I've had this with several people I've known, and they'll start a conversation, and it seems legitimate at first, and then all of a sudden they start, "Have you heard about such and such a program?" And the further it goes, the more your red lights start going on. This isn't the person I know. This is my friend, my uncle, my coworker. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, what's funny is I knew from the very first line that it wasn't him because he said hello. It's like, well, he doesn't say hello on anything, really. He's just not a kind of guy that would say hello. So it's like instant number one. I was like, well, this isn't him. Plus, he wouldn't message me on Facebook, so...
Yeah, it was out of character. How do people get these cloned accounts?
Oftentimes, people click on the wrong thing, usually on the internet, and installs something on their computer which reads their information when they try to get into their account, or they use the same password and everything, and they get their password from some other site that gets hacked, and then they try that password under the same username for everywhere, and sometimes it's the same as their Facebook account, and they get in that way.
All right, so I guess the bottom line here is if you get a message from someone and it really doesn't quite gel for you, and your hackles sort of go up, and often these things are to try to get you to click on a website, which of course will get you malware, because almost all the time, malware requires your cooperation. You have to give a permission to let the malware into your system to perform its nefarious deeds. So just if something seems off about the conversation, feel free. You know what? I gotta run. Bye and hang up. Now, on one of these occasions, I knew that this was a bogus call, so I just led them along, and then finally said, you know, you ought to be, because I'm pretty sure it was a bot, but if it was a bot, it was a really, really good one. Because sometimes a bot will hand, if they've got someone on the hook, they will hand off the conversation to a human operator who will try to reel in the fish, if you will.
Right. They try to catch people that can't even tell it's a bot they're talking to, because those are the kind of people that you could actually get to scam. If people immediately are like, no, this isn't right, then there's no point in even putting any effort into it, because they're not going to fall for whatever your scam you're trying to pull.
Well, I felt like asking in this particular case if the person I was talking to knew what a Turing test was, but I'm not.
Oh, if you ask a computer that, it might get really confused.
All right. Well, and as I said at the top, Ellen and I get confused by this stuff, and but really, it's just taking your time and getting an understanding. Now, both of us know that the tech industry, particularly down in Silicon Valley, is a little heavy leaning towards, well, let's just face it, white guys.
Asians.
Yeah, white guys and Asians. And of course, government sees they'll see a, quote, problem, and they want to, quote, fix it. And this is a name that is known to listeners of KCNR, Maxine Waters. She wants to make the tech industry more inclusive. Alan?
So she recently got a report and was appalled by that. The tech industry on average had about 1% to 2% black employees, and the racial makeup down there is closer to about 5%. So obviously that means that, you know, the companies are being racist and not hiring people just because they're black. Or, you know, between economic opportunity, interest, culture, they just don't want to join the tech industry. And there's all sorts of different ways that they may not be joining it in the first place. But anyway, she went on to say, I'm talking about using the power that our voters have given us to produce legislation and talk about regulation in these industries that have not been talked about before. I'm not urging, I'm not encouraging, I'm about to hit some people across the head with a hammer.
So they can do for the tech industry what they did to the state university system, basically.
Right.
Okay.
So since they founded a congressional a task force back in 2015 to try to help increase diversity in the tech world, which I'm not particularly against. I mean, I'm all for whoever joining, you know, that can and should be joining the force. But when you start mandating that this company have X number of black people, it's like they have to. I mean,
or Hispanic,
and then,
or Latino,
or
Armenian,
really.
Or, you know, whatever.
And then you start just hiring based on people's skin color and excluding people that aren't that skin color, and then you have to do a whole giant juggling act that really has nothing to do with how good they are at their jobs, but based on, you know, what they look like. That doesn't seem very progressive to me.
Yeah. Anyway, it's got to be about, ability. And I think rather than hammer the companies, what you do is that you put more focus on education at the early levels, just like getting more women into tech. I know some women in tech who are pretty darn savvy, run rings around me. Give them the opportunity, but do not mandate the requirement, because that's not going to be, I don't see that as a feel good strategy rather than an accomplish something strategy. So, but as the disclaimer says, what you hear here are opinions. So, hey, speaking of opinions, Apple is of the opinion that one of their watches has saved a person's life, that the act that their watch sounded the alarm. What's that about?
So over in, let's see, I think it was New York, William Monzidelis, I said that definitely wrong, was working at his family business, and he became dizzy. He went to the bathroom, and then he started bleeding from all sorts of places around his body, and then got an alert on his Apple Watch telling him to seek medical attention. Well, personally, if I spontaneously bleed, I don't really need a watch to tell me that something might be going wrong.
Yeah. So it detected like an arrhythmia of his heart or something? And
it detected weird blood pressure variations, okay. which actually was caused by an ulcer he had that ruptured in him.
Mm.
And so he started being really lightheaded, started bleeding out of different parts of him. And he, on the 30-minute ride to the hospital, he apparently lost 80% of his blood.
Oh.
But they credit the Apple Watch for, you know, telling him to go see a doctor, but you get the feeling if you start bleeding and super lightheaded and you start falling real fast, you're going to go to the doctor regardless of what you're
going
to watch.
Don't wait for your Apple Watch to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, have a little bit of personal agency. If you have to wait before a little thing on your wrist says, you should probably go to the doctor, you know.
You're not displaying survival skills.
No, not at all. But it's still interesting that that the watch is able to detect things
right.
that don't have obvious symptoms like that. It's able to, like, you know, since it keeps constant check of everything, it'd be able to detect like arrhythmia, which might not always be detectable because they'd only be checking and be able to detect it if it happens while the doctor is looking at it at a cardiogram or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, it has its uses, but I'm not sure in this case it actually saved the guy's life, since he probably would have gone to the hospital anyway.
What some ethicists are concerned about, though, is if you are strapping things to your body that are monitoring your health, let's say in the not-too-distant future we're going to have blood sugar monitors, looking for markers in your blood, at what point does that data become a means to your insurance company gets hold of it and cancels your policies because, oh, well, this person is showing early signs of heart disease, so we're going to cancel the policy before we have to shell out.
That will happen immediately upon availability of the information.
Yeah. So your personal...
And if not directly, then indirectly by raising rates of for some reason that they may not be able to say out loud because, you know, regulation and fairness and all that.
Your data can be used against you. Speaking of such things... and the influence that the media has upon us, as you put in the blurb here, what could possibly go wrong? Facebook wants to tell you what news sites are trustworthy based on what other people say and their own algorithms. Oh, yes.
So Facebook being in the limelight of skepticism these days... mostly based off the 2018, you know, election with people throwing fake news stories and Russian interfering and all the rest of that.
Next.
has said that they're going to start tagging or rating different news organizations, like you said, based on user inputs and analysis of the facts that the websites bring. To give it a rating to let people know whether or not they should trust certain sites or not. Unfortunately, when you involve people in anything, I can easily see everybody on, for example, say, the left saying Fox News is not trustworthy, and everybody on the right immediately saying MSNBC is not trustworthy, and kind of blowing the whole thing out of the water.
Can you say Tay, the racist AI?
Look, I understand what they're going for. There's obvious dumb sites out there that are full of nothing but crap.
Yeah,
you know, The Onion should probably get a zero, even though it's probably the most informative website out there.
Even though The Onion has been used as a credible news source by the North Koreans.
Right. So there's obvious parody sites like that, which are supposed to be funny. But then there's sites that are just as fictitious, but try to pass themselves off as trustworthy. Or
yeah.
Not necessarily trustworthy, but true. And those could definitely have some sort of warning, be like, hey, this is like an obviously fake website. Don't listen to whatever comes from here. However, I'm still would prefer people do their own research, and mm-hmm. if something looks weird, just, I don't know, put a little bit of time into it rather than reading the headline and then regurgitating it back to your friends.
Yeah. But let's be honest here. This is nothing new under the sun. In the 1930s, there was a term called yellow journalism, the glory days of William Randolph Hearst, Citizen Kane type days. The newspapers held incredible sway, and they had powerful influence.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com. A national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRoster. President Trump says the U.S. and North Korea are making progress ahead of a promised summit with Kim Jong-un.
We're doing very well on, as you know, North Korea. We'll see what happens, but we have a meeting set up.
Speaking in Cleveland, the president said the two sides have agreed on a date and a location, but he's not saying where or when. Meanwhile, the president at the meeting criticized U.S. immigration policies. He says people entering the U.S. illegally are taking advantage of catch-and-release policies and don't necessarily show up for their immigration court dates. He added that we may have to close up the country to get it right. The president's nominee to head the CIA says she would buck any efforts to restart a brutal interrogation program that began after 9/11.
Sources say that Gina Haspel has been meeting privately with members of the Senate Intelligence Committee ahead of what could be contentious confirmation hearings this coming week. Administration officials are also working to soften her image, telling lawmakers that Haspel was neither the architect of nor a participant in the so-called enhanced interrogation techniques launched after the 9/11 terror attacks.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines says confirmation hearings begin Wednesday. Earlier this morning,
5, 4, 3, 2, 0.
NASA's newest Mars adventure is on its way. The Atlas V rocket put the Mars InSight lander on a direct path toward the Red Planet. After being the first interplanetary mission launched from the West Coast, it'll take more than 6 months to get to Mars and start its unprecedented geologic excavations. It'll have to travel 300 million miles to get on target. Check out more news and more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster.
Want to change how you feel significantly? ReliefFactor.com will do that for you. Support for temporary relief of minor aches and pains. If you're out there exercising, you go a little bit too far, as I did on Saturday, you definitely need Relief Factor on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, I take it every day, as do tens of thousands of people. They know that they should have Omega, which is fish oil, resveratrol, which you can get from drinking red wine, but you don't know how much. Icaria and curcumin all together, carefully calibrated, perfectly formulated, the combination of four natural supplements that everyone agrees you ought to be taking every single day. This makes it easy to do in the amount that is appropriate for your body. The starter pack is $19.95. You try it for 3 weeks. Put everything else away that your doctor says you can put away. Don't not take what he tells you to take. And then see if you don't feel terrific. You'll feel much better. ReliefFactor.com works. Tens of thousands of people say so. Their testimonials are abundant and real and sincere. Go and watch them and then get ReliefFactor.com.
Three women who worked with newsman Charlie Rose have filed a lawsuit against him and CBS News.
The sexual harassment lawsuit filed by three women in New York seeks unspecified damages. The plaintiffs, who were all in their early 20s when they were hired, say they were subjected to predatory behavior, including repeated physical and verbal sexual harassment. They allege Rose questioned them about their sex lives and boasted about his. As allegations against him began to multiply, Rose was fired from his CBS anchor spot in November, and his PBS show was canceled. At the time, he apologized, but also said some of the allegations were not accurate. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Former President George H.W. Bush has been released from a Houston hospital where he spent the past 13 days recovering from an infection shortly after they buried his wife last month. More on these stories at townhall.com. Yet another service is asking you to change your password.
Twitter says it discovered a bug that stored passwords in an internal log in plain text without the usual encryption. Though Twitter says there's no indication that anyone has stolen or misused those passwords, the company is recommending a change as a precaution. Patrick Frost reporting.
John Williams, currently the president of the Fed's San Francisco Regional Bank, is suggesting the unemployment rate could fall further to 3.5%, with inflation modestly overshooting the Fed's target for a time without raising concerns. Williams, who will soon become president of the influential New York Fed, says he still expects a gradual pace of 3 to 4 increases in the Fed's key interest rate this year. Rain expected to subside by the time they open the gates for the 144th running of the Kentucky Derby. More at townhall.com.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And welcome to Hour 2 of Boomer Tech Radio. I'm still Bob Belongi.
And I'm still Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the show with the tech news you can use.
That part doesn't change.
Yeah, that rarely changes. The stories change, but we change too.
Well, but...
Grown older and wiser.
I don't know. Definitely older.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about wiser.
Yeah, the wiser is...
This is the show that helps you deal with the deluge of information. What you do with it, of course, is your decision. Yeah, but we give you more information to do with as you will. And we're not here to freak anybody out. We're not here to rah-rah. I am a fan of technology. I will... And like any tool, technology can be used for good or evil. A hammer can build a house or bash a skull, depending on the intent of the wielder.
There's so many amazing things going on in technology.
Exactly. Now,
and if you think about it, it's an extension of human creativity,
mm-hmm.
really, because none of this happens by itself.
Correct.
It's all being created by humans.
Mm-hmm.
Programming something, whatever. So far, these things haven't replicated themselves or generated themselves or created themselves. It's just amazing the things that people come up with.
And some folks are of the opinion that if it wasn't there when I was a kid, it has no merit.
Well, the only thing that's guaranteed is change, really.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, that may be in death, but you know, we're not talking about that kind of stuff.
You
don't even have to pay your taxes.
This
really.
Is something.
If you don't, then, you know, they say the only two things for sure in life are death and taxes.
Right.
And you don't have to pay your taxes.
Correct, exactly.
You will die eventually, but
eventually
you don't have
to
pay your taxes. I mean, there are consequences to that, of course, but you don't have to.
We have talked about this technology several times, from a mere curiosity to, wow, they're really doing it. What I'm talking about, of course, is 3D printing. Now, of course, 3D printing hit most people's tech radar when you're, oh my God, there are 3D printing guns that can't be picked up by a metal detector. Ah, terrible, be afraid. Well, you know, like I said, you can build a house or bash a skull. But three-dimensional printers have gone far beyond cheesy little plastic parts.
They are
letting doctors in Minnesota make simulated body parts in a hospital. Now, why would you want to do that? And the example from last year was that there was a very complicated operation involving, I think, was it a heart valve or something like that on an infant?
I believe it was.
Infant's heart,
anyway.
So they used magnetic resonance imaging to get a 3D. And if you've ever had one of these things done on you, it's pretty freaky.
Very noisy.
They're noisy, but they can actually look. It's almost like a Star Trek scanner thing.
Yeah.
They can look around inside the body and build a 3D model. I'm having dental implants done. Remember this, Brenda? I have a couple of posts sticking out. And what they did is they did a high-resolution CAT scan of my face, of my jawline. And you can put this thing on the screen and you can rotate it. It's a little creepy seeing your own skull on a screen.
See, I think it's cool.
Yeah. But they can rotate it. They can enlarge it. And what he's going to do when he goes to do the implants is he's actually going to mold, cut the implants to precisely fit without having to go through a bunch of trial and error to precisely fit so that the teeth will line up correctly.
Well, even before that, putting the implants in themselves,
right,
there was a drilling guide developed to place the implants to your best advantage based on how your jaw is shaped and how everything has to go. And that has worked extremely well. And this is not unlike what the hospital is doing.
So what these doctors did, they built a model of and I think it was the heart, so that they could, when you're in the body and you've got the body cut open and you're looking around, there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of stuff in the way, and you're reaching around behind. Well, these guys printed out a model of the heart so that they could pick it up and look at it from all different angles and say, okay, this is where we need to make the incision.
Yes, as I recall, part of the story was that they had an initial plan of how they thought they would approach it based on the imaging that they had. And when they actually had the 3D model built, they said, ooh, that's not such a good idea. Or, don't think that's going to be a successful, right? And they changed their strategy and tactics. And it was a success because of that, and also allowed them to spend less time in there because they had some kind of concept about what things looked like before they got there and what they were going to do. So they had a battle plan, and they went and did it. But this hospital that is a Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, they are doing much the same thing, as they make these models of body parts on people so that they can figure out how to do an operation.
Most of the same parts, but they're just all ranged,
in
slightly different order.
Different problems to tackle and that sort of thing. So they're not printing parts to use in the body. They're printing parts in somebody's body, to evaluate how they're going to approach the situation. And
The rib bone connected to the backbone.
The kind of thing, right? At the same time, you have companies like General Motors working on design software or working with design software company Autodesk Inc. to make lightweight 3D printed parts that could help them deal with alternative fuel vehicles.
Now, GE has been talking about 3D printed parts to go in aircraft. Now, well, what about the one that blew up? Well, that wasn't a 3D printed engine. Sorry. The whole thing about 3D printing a part is that in traditional, you take a block of something, usually metal, and you cut away all the metal that you don't want until you end up with the piece that you do want and a big pile of shavings on the floor.
Right. There's a lot of waste to that. It also, you can't precisely replicate a part, particularly that way. To some degree, you can.
CNC machining a lot.
Yeah, it depends on what you're doing. But at the same time, you know, you want an absolute copy. Perhaps a 3D printer is the way to do it. But GE has made a huge investment, over $3 billion, in the industry of 3D printing with metal. To create parts. And so this is a aspect of technology that's really in its infancy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And there's in the article that we have posted on the Boomer Tech Flipboard page is some really interesting pictures of components that were printed by GE, metal components, one of which looks a lot like a pump or turbine or some kind of... turbine blade in here.
So let's say the heater in your car goes out and they identify an actuator that has failed.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it's cracked, it's bent, whatever. As it is right now, our advertisers down there at Advanced Automotive say, okay, the actuator that opens the little flap on your heater has bent. This is a true life story, by the way. So they put it in order for one to the local auto parts supplier. The auto parts supplier checks on his shelf. Oh, there's not one there. So he goes to his supplier. That supplier may go all the way back to the manufacturer, probably in China. In China, they stamp out the part. They put it in a wrapper. They bubble wrap it. They put it in a box. They put several boxes in a carton. They put several cartons in a case. They put some cases in a container, put the container on a ship, transport it all the way over to the United States from China, do everything in reverse, and sometime later, the auto mechanic gets the part to fix my heater. How much more efficient would it be for the repair dealer to call up the local fabricator and say, I need part number such and such. And they go to the console and they type in some numbers, a file runs, and boom, there's my actuator the same day. We're going to do that with teeth. We're going to do that with parts for your ice maker in your refrigerator and get rid of all that packaging and transport.
Well, and the throwawayness of things.
Yeah.
You can actually fix things. I think... fixing parts is going to come back in some style as opposed to just trashing a whole unit. You can fix a component in a unit.
And you can recycle these plastics. Now, I don't know about the metal parts, but I would think that they would, if they can be put into a matrix that allows them to be 3D printed, because they have to be kind of a liquid or similar. Yeah, it has to be something that will flow through a nozzle. That they can be far more easily recycled.
I wouldn't be surprised about what they 3D print bones for people.
Oh, yes. Well, I think I saw that they made a temporary skeleton structure for a patient in Spain to protect his lungs while some grafting was done.
Huh. Pretty amazing.
But we are still in our very infancy in 3D printing. And now there's... the hospital is making, last year they did about 1,200 devices for 700 patients, twice as many as last year.
Also, another company that is a startup using 3D printers to make a small rocket engine, something they couldn't do without 3D printing.
Yeah.
They would simply did not have the...
Well, your cost per unit goes down. You don't have to have a huge factory that's devoted to producing these widgets all day long and tool up just for that. And then when you're going to build something else, do something else. So my brother's an advocate that cars are going to be componentized to a great extent as well. You pick the engine, you pick this, you pick that, and you put all these pieces together, and if something busts or tears or whatever, whatever the situation is, you just go order a replacement piece.
Exactly what I'm doing with my PC.
Ah, there you go.
PCs are built in a modular fashion. I was in a contest for a couple of years down at CES Las Vegas where you had a pile of parts. And you had a timed event where you put all the parts together into a functioning computer. I'm going to state here for the record, I was terrible at it.
You weren't last.
I didn't come in dead last.
And your computer did boot up on
and
the first.
My computer did work.
Yes.
Oh, dear me. Sonos is a company that makes in-home speakers. Very, very nice. I'm really thinking about, I was thinking about adding some Sonos speakers to our home entertainment system, but apparently there's something new on the horizon. A press release for June 6th shows an invitation of a coffee table littered with remotes, and the tagline says, "You're better than this." The company has a new home theater smart speaker through FCC documentation. So the idea is that this probably soundbar-type speaker will also control your devices based on Alexa-type commands. I just triggered everybody's Alexa. Now, our Samsung TVs are just a bit too old to be triggered by voice commands, and that's okay. I can manipulate the remote. Most of the time, these days, we've been using our Fire Stick.
Some of these things, though, I think promise more than they actually deliver.
Right. A company like Sonos, though, I think that they have a lot on the ball. And when Alexa, face it, when the Echo speaker first came out, nobody knew what to make of it.
True.
It was a brand new, just like the iPad. Nobody really knew what they were going to do with it. Here I am with an iPad, and that defined the tablet as we know it today. You've got a Samsung tablet.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you've been... owner of a Galaxy Tab A for some months now. Now, the Tab A was sort of the entry level to the Galaxy 10-inch tablets, and so far so good?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No complaints.
All right. And it's not the top of the food chain for the Galaxy series.
Perfect for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I surf the web, look up things, you know, check on this, that, email, whatever, and it's all I need to have the tablet for. It's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anything more sophisticated.
YouTube. How about this?
Are they in trouble?
Well, this time they're not so much in trouble. It is a fascinating number. YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki. We went through this once before trying to figure out how to pronounce her last name. I'm not even going to go there. She says that 1.8 billion with a B registered users watch videos on the platform every month. Not counting people who watch without an account. That's pretty impressive. That's bigger than the biggest TV network in the country.
Yeah, I don't have time for YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Beyonce did a live stream with 41 million viewers. Boy, the networks would love to have a number like that. The company says that they had hit the 1.5 billion logged in monthly users in mid 2017. There are problems, of course, that YouTube has, including inappropriate kids videos and videos that are a little bit on the wacky side. There's a lot of and Alan nailed it last hour when he said if you don't watch the news, but let's update. If you don't watch the news, you are ignorant. If you do watch the news, you are misinformed.
Right. I love that. Oh, my goodness.
To paraphrase.
Doesn't matter what news.
Among the changes on the horizon, though, would be a YouTube Kids option with a human moderator sitting in the loop and a promise to have 10,000 or so moderators checking content, because there have been some kids' videos that have been extremely questionable winding up on the platform that the AI might pass it through.
Right.
And when you turn around and look at the video, you're going, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. The difference between the AI's capabilities and the human capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine putting that on your resume. Was a children's video vetter for YouTube.
I'm sure there was a more fancy way to put it there. More changes. Of course, Windows 10 is the evolving operating system. Microsoft likes to call it the last operating system you'll ever need, because it is a constantly update, usually when you least want it to.
Yeah, right. Or it's most inconvenient.
The next Windows 10 Insider Preview includes a new way to take screenshots. Right now, there's a control key combination to grab a capture of your screen. Now, one thing that OS X offers, Mac OS, I have to use the right terminology, Mac OS, is Command-Shift-F4, if I recall correctly. And that lets you take a shot of your screen, which I use frequently. And I think the Command-Shift-F4 lets you draw a box, and then it turns it into a JPEG so that you can capture a part of your screen. Windows 10 is going to do something similar to actually, just as you can on a tablet, use your touch screen to annotate an image. In fact,
that's kind of a cool feature.
Yeah. Brenda saw some stuff that I did here at the radio station where I took pictures with my iPad, and then I used my Apple Pencil to make circles and diagrams right on the picture, and people are doing that more. Our Galaxy Notes will do that.
It was interesting. Where was I? Someplace yesterday, and the person said, oh, I'll just take a picture of it. That's what everybody does these days. And even earlier today, I was in a restaurant. They ran out of takeout menus, and I said, oh, okay, no problem. They had a menu board,
mm-hmm.
So I just took a picture of the menu board.
Yeah, I have snapped receipts when it's been bills of sale.
Yeah,
an organization that we're with, now instead of sending them the document, they simply have you flatten it out and take a picture of it and enclose that with your expense report.
Yep.
So it's becoming
fairly common.
Yeah, and you think 10, 15 years ago, a camera was a more cumbersome thing. Now we have the imaging
capabilities in our pocket are phenomenal.
They are.
They're not, you wouldn't necessarily want to call them professional-grade photography, but they are very, very adequate for everyday use and lots of things.
Mm-hmm. Charter is launching a new wireless hybrid service. They want to partner up with Verizon and use Wi-Fi along with that. Now,
cell phones or just internet access?
This is for internet access. Now, remember your host on this program mentioned about 2 years ago that rather than upgrading constantly wire all the way into the house, what was going to happen is
right.
They were going to upgrade pole to pole, and then the last jump into the house would be on a wireless network. And you could expand that in a scaled fashion, especially if you're using a 5 gigahertz last jump into the house, and you would have a tiny external antenna and then a router inside the house. Lo and behold, that's pretty much what Charter is announcing for their new wireless service. The Xfinity Mobile will be offering a mix of cheap unlimited or pay-as-you-go. Now, unlimited isn't really unlimited. It's $45 bucks.
Up to some point.
Up to a soft cap of 20 gigs.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of data.
That is a lot of data.
That's quite a bit of data.
By the way, speaking of data caps, as I discovered the hard way, if you connect your laptop to a Wi-Fi hotspot when you're on vacation, be wary that your Windows 10 machine doesn't decide to pull an update because it thinks it's tied to Wi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
Because those updates can be 4, 5, 6 gigabytes. Also, programs like Texture, if you, and some of these times it'll default to your cellular data, and you wind up sucking up vast amounts of your data pool unintentionally. So any graphics heavy
things will do that. Yes, to the tune of 10 gig, mm-hmm. we found out.
Yeah.
Something got left on, if you will. So.
I think it was a combination of updates and Texture or Comixology, which is graphics heavy.
The moral of the story is...
turn off your cell data
when you're
just traveling.
Make sure your hotspot is not on. I turn my hotspot on and off all the time. I don't do not leave it on, or your device is, you know, it'll default to what it saw last, or whatever the strongest signal is.
Right, and it'll just start pulling data through there, especially for an update. And Windows updates, which happen when you're not looking,
right,
and can be fairly massive.
So,
yeah. But I think I'm getting it that this is going to let a lot of these companies expand their reach without having to put in tons of new infrastructure by covering the last mile
and,
over a wireless network.
Speaking of Texture, real quick, Apple has bought Texture. Texture is an online magazine library, if you want to look at it that way, with recent issues and past issues of magazines, and there's quite a selection of them. And they have, Apple has already terminated the Windows version, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I wasn't impressed with anyway.
Yeah, the Windows version of the Texture.
Kind
of. Now, we subscribe to Texture. It's $10 a month for just literally hundreds of magazines. If they, and I think this would be a bad move on their part, if they drop support for Android.
We're gone.
Yeah, we're gonna. It would still work on my iPad, but not on Brenda's tablet, Android tablet. No, that isn't what we signed up for.
Right.
Coming back with more Boomer Tech news you can use, including criminals using drones to disrupt law enforcement. That after this.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? No, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Shasta Tambourine presents the annual Boomtown Festival, celebrating the people of Shasta Lake City and the community they love. This Friday, enjoy the Big Idea Science Fair at the Shasta Dam Visitor Center starting at 9 a.m. and the Youth Leadership Welcome Party, 6:30 p.m. at the Heritage Roasting Company. Saturday's Pancake Breakfast is 6 to 10 a.m. at the Shasta Lake Fire Hall, followed by the Boomtown Parade. Shop the plant sale on Shasta Dam Boulevard noon to 4 p.m. and party in the park all day with live music, free kids activities, and health fair, craft and vintage fair, and plenty of food and drinks all in Claringle Park. For more information, go online to ShastaDamboree.org and follow their Facebook page. Celebrate the heritage of Shasta Lake City at the Shasta Damboree Boomtown Festival this Friday and Saturday.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hi, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Welcome back for one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. And by the way, the stories that we like to cover, many of them end up on our Boomer Tech Radio magazine on Flipboard. And Flipboard is an app that you can get on your PC. It doesn't work particularly well on the PC, but you can also get it on your Android tablet or your iPad or iDevice. Works a little better on a tablet than it does on a smartphone because the print gets really, really small on a smartphone. But it's a news aggregator is what Flipboard is. And you can create your own magazine where you can flip stories from the feed over into your own magazine to share with your friends, which is exactly what we do. So subscribe
or collect them for your own purposes, whatever that is.
Subscribe to Flipboard Magazine on, subscribe to Boomer Tech Magazine on Flipboard. There, I got it right.
We were talking about earlier about how technology can be used for the greater good or misused for something not so good. Drones, of course, are one of those things that are becoming more and more in use for various things.
Now, a drone could be used to showcase a multi-million-dollar home for sale, or it could be used to spy on your 17-year-old daughter sunbathing in the backyard. it could be wedding videography or carrying drugs.
Yep.
Hobbyist drones were used for things like sneaking contraband into prisons. Over the years, criminals have found a variety, being the creative types they are.
Yes.
Have found a variety of uses. A particularly organized gang used drones to interfere with a hostage situation last winter. A swarm of small drones descended on an FBI hostage team performing high-speed, low passes in an effort to flush them out from their positions and disrupt the operations. They were also used, and this is interesting, the drones were also feeding video to YouTube so that the gangs could keep tabs on the FBI's movements.
Right, and so how did they, somebody must have known something was coming, because you don't just all of a sudden deploy drones, and so this is like some kind of coordinated effort.
Other specifics of the incident remain law enforcement sensitive.
Of course.
But just one of the more elaborate ways drones are now being used by criminals. Criminals have taken to watching police stations to identify witnesses, as well as casing out facilities to find security problems. A group in Australia uses drones to watch the Port Authority staff if they get too close to one of the contraband-filled shipping containers. A fire or theft report is called in to redirect the attention of the authorities while the contraband is moved or hidden. Of course, we reported early in the year about Chinese law enforcement stopping a smartphone smuggling scheme. Remember that? They were using smartphones to smuggle iPhones into China where they are worth...
Drones to smuggle iPhones.
Yeah, drones to smuggle the iPhones.
It just amazes me. Yeah. So, pretty soon law enforcement's going to distrust anything, as in this Australian thing where they, call in a report that's probably not true, and it redirects law enforcement in a certain direction. Pretty soon law enforcement's going to say, well, that may not be real, so we're going to pursue, it's sort of like you split your forces. You three go over here and check this part out while we go check this part out.
Mm-hmm. In that series Expanse that we talked about, drones are appearing frequently in the course of the show, not as essential plot elements, but as sort of the background, which I found to be interesting.
Obviously as an element of the technology portrayed.
So I'm sure that there's people, well, just whip out the trusty 12-gauge and take that sucker out.
Yeah,
well,
can't
again,
do that either.
If you shoot it, it comes down. And what's it going to come down on? Or who is it going to come down on?
How many pieces is it going to come down in?
Is the lithium-ion battery, like this big problem with drones showing up over wildland fires and disrupting the air operations, just have the cops shoot them down. Well, now you're dropping a very powerful lithium-ion battery and electric motors into flammable brush. This is probably not a wise decision.
Start a whole new fire.
Yeah. So.
Interesting stuff.
The FAA is hoping to have stricter regulations, including you already have to register your drone. Now, the aircraft, of course, all have to have side numbers, what they call a tail number on them. And it has to be a minimum size and readability. Boats have to have registry numbers. We have license plates on the cars. But when a drone is only a foot or so across, what do you do?
Difficult to see.
Now, if you wanted to have a broadcast ID transponder code, that's an awful lot of stuff on the air. But a solution in the meantime, Ford, the automaker, believes anti-collision lights on the drones could have the added function of blinking a unique code.
Uh-huh. More light pollution and stuff in the sky.
But you could modulate those lights in a code that isn't necessarily noticeable to the human eye.
Well, that's true.
But could be picked up by an app. Yeah.
Well, the other thing with that, though, is how easy would that be to disable or fiddle with?
Things. If the drone is not broadcasting a legitimate ID, then it's probably
nefarious purposes.
It's fair game to take out. Now, I am not an Apple fanboy. I use my MacBook for certain tasks. I am doing this show in part with reading my stories off of an iPad Pro 12.9, which I use frequently. I'm writing a book on my iPad Pro because it's got that big, beautiful screen, and it's portable. And I love my MacBook Pro. It's a 2012. It doesn't have the Retina display, and it doesn't have the touch bar.
Yeah, but it's got that really cool lighted keyboard.
Mm-hmm. some MacBook Pro owners are very unhappy. There's an online petition demanding the company is recalling Every MacBook Pro released since late 2016, releasing the and replace the keyboards with new redesigned keyboards
that actually work.
Yeah,
as advertised.
Keys on Apple's current MacBook Pro are failing at alarming rates, concerning the fact that you've spent $1,300 to $2,800 bucks on a computer. You would think that it would have a working keyboard.
You would think so.
Certain keys in the MacBook Pros tend to stop working. Now, they've got a new switch called a butterfly design. It's rather than a mechanical switch, it's a little folded piece of metal, and apparently that is failing.
Yeah, it might be fatiguing, yes. I don't know who this musician is, but musician Jonathan Mann turned this dilemma into a song titled "I'm Pressing the Spacebar and Nothing is Happening."
Apparently the dust gets under the key and keeps it from making contact. Apple's solution is to hold the laptop at 75 degrees and spray compressed air, but this really isn't something that you should expect people to do.
Yeah, that's why should you have to do that on a regular basis? Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I'm always saying these devices require care and feeding and maintenance and all of these other things. It's not just plug and play and you don't have problems. There's always something. Mm-hmm. You got to reboot at least every once in a while because things get bollocked up.
And I'm with this author. I have a late 2012 unibody MacBook. Has keys that have more traditional type switches and has worked all along. And you can actually still get that particular design in the 15-inch MacBook Pros rather than the super thin and light. The reason they did this, of course, is so they can make it even thinner and lighter.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, the durability isn't there or the functionality isn't there.
Or the ability to keep dust out.
Well, these aren't tests that get done until people are actually using the computer for some time because... Mm-hmm. I think a lot of these designs in the development mode, they don't get used as long, and they don't test them for 3 years before they put them on the market.
Now, my late 2012, which I bought brand new, is still running pretty good. I replaced the hard drive with an SSD, and I upgraded the memory. It was one of the last MacBook Pros that you could actually field upgrade the memory, and I took the memory up to 16 gigs. Excuse me. And it's still running pretty. It's an i7 processor. It is not a fast processor. It doesn't have much, really spectacular graphics, but
it has other advantages.
It works.
Yeah, it's been quite a workhorse.
Yeah.
So reliable. Mm-hmm. The hardware, that is one thing about Apple, generally speaking, aside from this kind of a problem, their hardware is very durable.
Yeah, so they're probably, and then, of course, they made a serious misstep with the Mac Pro, the trash can computer. With that cylinder, it looks like a wastepaper
basket. Oh, yeah.
That's, and...
Must not be much going on with that because it's not in the news.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to upgrade. And of course, Apple wants you to buy everything up front and not upgrade on the fly, which is what a lot of us like to do. We start out with a base machine and then grow it as we grow. Now, they kind of let you do that with the new iMac Pro. You can get the back off, you can access the memory modules and things like maybe change the hard drive. But most Macs are turning into sealed boxes, which is, what happens when one essential little piece dies out?
Oh, isn't that the deal, right?
Can we let a week go by without picking on Facebook? I can't. I cannot let a week go by without picking on Facebook.
It's just too big for its britches.
Yeah. Facebook, the social media, social diseased media, they are exploring the possibility of letting you pay for the rights to not have ads shoved down your throat. Bloomberg says that the company's been considering the option for some time. Now there's a little more momentum for the idea. They're trying to determine if an ad-free version paid by subscription would spur more people to join the social network or continue the mass exodus, since it appears now that everybody under the age of 25 has abandoned Facebook. And I use it less and less. I know a lot of, mostly because it's no longer the cool, it's where the cool kids hang out.
Well, I don't know if that, I don't have time. And there's only very few people on there that are posting stuff
that's
really what they're up to and original. So there's many people that I don't even follow on Facebook anymore because they never post anything about themselves. They just repost stuff. Well, I don't need reposted stuff. That isn't to me what social media is about.
So if you want to do your Facebook thing and post your cat videos and things, I think Facebook did get too big for its britches, and I think that a subscription-based social media that isn't creeping out all your data might not be a bad thing. Now, the Wall Street Journal report has come up and said a small group of employees have the ability to access user accounts without the account password, allowing them to see content that would normally be private, including photos with the visibility set to me only. Facebook says that they do this selectively for specific reasons, usually only on Facebook employee accounts. Official statement is that this is to diagnose technical errors, test new features, or investigate criminal behavior in response to a legal request. But there has been incidents where Facebook employees have been accessing people's accounts to do cyber stalking.
Yeah, well, they obviously don't have anything better to do either.
Facebook, of course, still struggling to address the Cambridge Analytica debacle. Some former friends of the service have turned back on it and said that they are leaving Facebook en masse. I use it very little. Now, a former angel investor named Jason Calacanis says he sold all his Facebook shares because he believes that Mark Zuckerberg is completely immoral. Now, this is all about, share prices and things like that. Usually companies that make that sort of thing are people who have other dogs in the fight. Cambridge Analytica has filed for bankruptcy in the wake of the controversy over misuse of personal data obtained from a Facebook app. The thing is, we went from a social network to a data harvesting tool. How did we make that misstep?
It probably wasn't the plan to begin with, but it's just too lucrative to pass up, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, it has been you either have a tablet or you have a laptop. I'm using my tablet, my iPad Pro, in a laptop sort of configuration. I've got one of these keyboards made by Logitech with a slot, and I set the tablet into the slot, and now I can use it as sort of a vertically oriented laptop.
Right.
But the detachable market is continuing to grow. So sometimes it's you've got the full keyboard of a laptop, because let's face it, if you don't have a separate keyboard, as soon as you bring up the keyboard, you have lost half of your screen real estate.
Yeah.
Same on a smartphone.
Yep.
Your screen has to, by necessity, compress in order to type out your message.
Right.
Detachables are tablets that easily convert into a laptop-style machine. The iPad Pro leads that pack. The Surface, Microsoft's entry into the convertibles market, is selling quite well. And then now there's some Chrome boxes into the power of detachables. So that's going to be a fairly affordable alternative, because face it, both the iPad Pro and the Surface are not cheap options.
No.
So we'll see what happens when Chrome OS becomes more of a thing. Well, today, you know what today is? We are recording this on Friday. It is an unofficial holiday for Star Wars for Star Wars fans.
Yes.
Because it is May the 4th be with you.
That is so lame.
It's the sort of thing that only fans could come up with.
Yes, so it is, that's pretty lame.
It has become, in fact, a de facto holiday for Star Wars franchise enthusiasts.
Pi Day is much better.
Mm-hmm. Lenovo celebrating May the 4th, which, as you're hearing this broadcast, was yesterday, if you're hearing it on Saturday. A new feature for its Star Wars Jedi Challenges, an augmented reality experience. Players can now compete against each other. So this is sort of, you know, VR and AR, and as we, as Alan and I talked about last hour, remember VR was going to be a thing, a big thing, but there was no content.
Well, and it makes people sick, and the headsets are uncomfortable, and there's
and absurdly
quite a few
expensive.
Things. Yeah, well, there's that too. Not necessarily absurdly expensive, but they're not commonplace, and there's no standardization of them either.
Yeah, the product uses this Jedi Challenge product uses a headset. You use your own phone, and then you have a lightsaber type wand. Powered by a smartphone app, apparently you put on the headset and power this thing up, and your lightsaber in your vision comes up. And then you are in an augmented reality environment with your opponent, and you have a lightsaber duel.
I shake my head and roll my eyes to a certain extent. On the other hand, it...
Pew, pew, pew!
Think about the technology involved to do that. It's pretty phenomenal.
In my day, we used a bent stick. Oh my.
It was free.
Yeah.
If it broke, you could find another one pretty quickly.
The in other areas, there are games such as Star Wars Secrets of the Empire, virtual reality experience. Those are turning up into now these are showing up in like shopping malls. And it's a 12 to 15 minute game that lets you completely escape into an imaginary environment, working in a group. Now, the forerunner to this, and I did this down in San Diego, there was a game called Mech Warrior. And you would, this was kind of like a laser tag game, only you got into a video game type unit. A pod, and you were at the controls of a 40-foot-tall fighting robot. And you would act either as a team or you would go player versus player. And this was several years ago. This was back in the early, late 90s.
Hmm.
And for $20 or whatever, you went in and you did a round. But there were whole leagues going on this stuff. The company, unfortunately, went under because the hardware was unreliable and expensive. But it just shows... It just goes to show you what is possible. Now we've got so much processing. At the time, each one of these things had to have its own PC to make it connect up on the network. And the graphics, of course, were laughably bad. Now we are reaching the point where the graphics are just about cinematic in scope. And you can do it on a smartphone.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Finally, a couple of last-minute stories here that... came in on the wire while we were doing the show. The FCC says that they are moving the $9 billion, with a B, dollars worth of Universal Service Fund from a Bank of America account to what auditors say is safer ground at the U.S. Treasury. The fund is financed by charges on your telephone bills to pay for communication services for low-income residents. Democrats are worried that transferring the money over to the U.S. Treasury could result in surprise, the money being spent on other federal programs. Chinese officials have asked the United States to amend the federal government's ban on U.S. companies selling components and software to Chinese telecom equipment firm ZTE. The appeal's coming out of the midst of U.S.-China trade talks. The Trump administration banned ZTE and, in fact, ZTE phones, which is a cheap Chinese phone company, they cannot be sold on military PXs out of because of security concerns.
Oh, yes, sort of like the Lenovo kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
British officials are saying that they plan to continue their investigation into Cambridge Analytica's use of improperly harvested Facebook data. The UK Information Commissioner's Office said that the bankruptcy announced will not stop an inquiry into the company's practices. So, if you are a woman in tech, where do you think the best place to work if you're a woman in tech is?
Have your own company.
Well, what city would be?
New York, Philadelphia, something like that.
Those are actually pretty far. In fact, New York's not even on the list.
Oh, really?
Here are the top cities for women in technology.
Seattle's not one of them, is it?
It is not on the list. Here they are.
Obviously
from the
not
top of the list.
Kansas City, Missouri. Okay.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
Indianapolis, Indiana. Tucson, Arizona.
Huh.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. Philadelphia, PA. Houston, Texas. Omaha, Nebraska. Denver, Colorado. Jersey City. Washington, D.C. is on the list of places where women apparently are treated reasonably fair.
Did I not say Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, yeah, that's like number six on the list. Now, average across the U.S., women make about 84% of the salaries paid to men, with a median income of $53,616. But that top of the list, in Kansas City, Missouri, on average, women make more than men.
Hmm.
No, we're not moving.
No, I've been to Kansas City. No, thank you. Too flat.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later. And often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive.